Hey, babe.
It's Aisha. Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hello, angels. Happy Tuesday. Back again doing my absolute favorite thing ever. You guys know this is, I love it. I love having a podcast. And it does also help that I have these incredible, like this little setup situation going on with these headphones, and it makes me feel like so legit. I actually, you guys would be glad to hear this if you're listening to this. First of all, thank you. Thank you so much for supporting me. And also, I have pre-recorded some stuff that will absolutely be coming out. Yes, I promise. I'm just waiting to get back the final edits from my editor. And yeah, so look out for that, guys. I promise. I definitely am, you know, going to be uploading again on YouTube. So in the meantime, between time, I felt very led today to kind of just talk about, are we creating our own chaos, to ask ourselves if we are the problem, and to understand that sometimes we get in our own way and that the mountain is us. And what has inspired this is just, you know, things that I've just noticed in my life, and just, you know, considering what it is that I do. And I listen to, you know, a bunch of you guys, and I have friends and things like that. And not that I'm a know-it-all in any way, because I do not claim to know it all, but I do believe that wise people are kind of just born where you don't need to experience every single thing in life to be wise. It's kind of just like a gift that you get from God or something. And I don't know. I'd like to say that I do consider myself to be one of those people. And there are just things that I feel like I observe, and it's astounding to me. And number one being the relationships that we choose to be a part of. Like, the biggest mistake that we all make is when we see something happen and we choose to ignore it or think that it's just going to get better. And certain things are, you know, I guess maybe like figure outable or even negotiable. But certain things as it pertains to, let's say you go out on a date with this guy and he doesn't like his food. So he, you know, rudely demands and reprimands essentially the waiter because he didn't like his food and was very nasty to the waiter. And we all know people that are rude to waiters are not good people, right? I think we all agree about that. And so considering that fact, you have to ask yourself, would you ignore that data point with that person? Or are you going to say, well, I mean, he didn't like his food. Like, what? Like, that's not his fault, whatever the case is. It's like, no, you are capable of not liking something and approaching it in a different way. It's about delivery, angels. It is all about delivery. And for some reason, people seem to miss that concept, because sometimes people are just so caught up in being right that they don't care how they're executing their message. And inevitably, at the end of the day, you want to be heard. You want to be understood. But how can you be heard and understood if you are approaching the situation, regardless of if you're right or not, in the wrong way? And I think this is so important to think about. Are you getting in your own way? Relationships are a choice. And it's not easy because, again, common sense isn't so common once there are feelings involved. And that's why you guys need to stay tuned for my next video. It is so good. I drop so many gems in that video. And it's just, it just really, really makes me think, like, wow, if only this person understood that you're not helpless here. Like, you're not a victim of your own circumstances. Like, you have to choose the pain of being with this person and thinking that it's just better to have this individual around, or the pain of just letting this hurt and letting it heal and making this decision on your own. And I was talking to one of my friends about this, where I was saying, listen, what's your power move going to be? You have to make a power move. And the power move isn't waiting on someone else to decide for you that it's over. We all see the writing on the wall here. It's done. You know, this guy is the way that he is. So you're going to wait for him to dispose of you? Or are you going to make the tough call and say, you know what? I'm going to leave in service of myself and something better, because regardless, this individual or that individual is going to do whatever they want to do regardless. They clearly do not reverence, you know, your feelings. So are you coming from a place of power? And it's more hurtful to deal with someone just disposing of you than you letting someone go because you know it was the right thing to do. It's still going to hurt either way, but how it feels is of course going to be a lot different because you made the call versus someone else making the call. And so it makes me think, all right, like Oprah Winfrey was saying, you know, when life is always speaking to you. That's like you have to pay attention. You have to listen. Life is absolutely always speaking to you. Okay. So considering that fact, how do these voices come about? What do I mean by life is speaking to you? Okay. You've tried so hard every which angle you could to make this guy see your worth. He never will. But you just keep on trying to reinvent ways to like bring life to something that is clearly dead. And in a way, it's like, what are you covering up here? What is the distraction here that you genuinely feel like, okay, this is it for me. This is the one person that I'm supposed to be with. And the crazy thing is, this person doesn't even treat you well at best. That's just what I don't get. And it just goes to show me, it's interesting that as human beings, we are conditioned to avoid pain and seek pleasure. But we tell ourselves in the moment, because we have feelings involved, that this is pleasure. I'd rather just hurt and have this person in my life than to just not have them at all. No, then that tells me that you've never actually truly experienced real happiness before. Because for some people, you know, pain is all that they know. Chaos is all that they know. So considering that fact, it's like, okay, to them, this is normal. If you don't know anything else, you don't know any other way, then of course you're going to stick around when things don't make sense. But if you were to tell yourself, you know, hey, you're going to meet this guy. He's going to treat you like garbage. He's going to have a lot of anger issues. He's going to, you know, cheat on you all the time. I'm pretty sure you would say, what? Like, why would I ever be with someone like that? Exactly. But the only difference is your feelings are involved now. So your feelings are telling you that you can somehow make it work, that you can figure out how to avoid this happening again. When the reality of the situation is, don't let a man tell you that he doesn't want you more than once. Do not. Okay? Because guys go for what they want at the end of the day. And you know what? And this is why it's so controversial as it pertains to, like, do I date younger guys? Do I date older guys? I mean, there really is no rule book, because to some degree, sometimes age doesn't matter, but then to some degree it does. It matters in regards to if you are, you know, let's say a person is 50 dating someone 40, okay, then it doesn't matter. But if a person is 30 dating someone who's 20, then yeah, it does matter, because that's technically, you're in a very different life arena. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to consider the life arena or life arenas that you're in and how it aligns with someone else. Anytime a situation is complex, like we have a problem and it's not in Houston. Like, we have to pay attention to things like that. Why is this 50-year-old guy interested in me and I'm 22? Like, it sounds great. It sounds, you know, oh, he's established, he's this, he's that. Okay. And do you not think that eventually he's going to try and leverage this over you? Beauty is currency to, you know, a degree. Okay. And you know, yes, you can say different strokes for different folks. That is true as well. However, you're, you know, you're obviously worth the investment because your beauty and your youth, and obviously that is valuable. And then to you, it's an even trade-off because it's like, oh, I can learn a lot from this person. This person has a lot of knowledge and this person is established. But guess what? If you actually think about it, this person has way more experience than you do, as they should at that age, okay? And what business do they have genuinely connecting? Again, I'm not saying that it's impossible, but what business do they have genuinely connecting with someone that's like 20, 30 years younger than them? Like, what in the juvenile delinquent is going on here? Like, it just sounds like someone in this picture is immature. So you're where you're supposed to be, and this person's older, so maybe you're more mature. But clearly that individual's immature, because a person that's even 50 can literally date someone 40 and that's 10 years older. But let me tell you guys something. People that are older that usually want to date someone younger, it's because there's a control factor there. They feel in some degree, whether you are a woman or a man, I'm saying this, they feel in some degree that they have some sort of control over the dynamic, because they know, okay, I know more than this person because I'm older than them. There, to some degree, there is a form of that being present in the dynamic, okay? And it's, to me, it's like when you are with someone that's in such a different life arena as you, you have to consider, what is it that I'm looking for? And you have to have answers, because if you don't have answers, you cannot change what you don't acknowledge. It's just that cut and dry, okay? And at the end of the day, I personally think as I have evolved and matured and gotten wiser, I realized to myself, I'm like, you know what? There's nothing wrong with liking, you know, people that are older than you or younger than you even, but you have to make sure that that person is kind of in the same life arena as you, okay? Like, or neat or similar. Put it like this, it needs to be complementary to one another, genuinely, okay? You can't date someone and then when, you know, things get bad, you feel like you're a child and like you're being reprimanded by an authoritative figure. That's not how a relationship should feel. And then in addition to that, you should not be with an individual where they are even feeling like you're the, you know, authoritative figure in the relationship, because nothing about that dynamic is sexy, like literally at all. It's a child-parent dynamic where it's just like, and what people don't realize is it's inevitable. Like, if there's such a huge gap between someone, how can you genuinely feel like they're equal? How? You literally can't. You can't even, it's out of your control. He was born before you. You were born after him. Like, what can you do? So I think these are such important things to consider, because life is supposed to get greater, I believe, in age. And you don't want to be the person in your like 30s and 40s correcting all of the mistakes that you made in your 20s. You know what I mean? You want to still try to the best of your ability to make sound decisions in your 20s. So I think the real thing becomes when we find our most challenging, because we've all had one very challenging relationship that we can call on. That to me is the pivotal moment where it's like, all right, this is the testing ground. Are you going to pass? There's a book that I thought was so interesting that I actually have called, The Mountain Is You. And one thing that I love, it's by Brianna Weiss. And she said, your mountain is the block between you and the life you want to live. Facing it is also the only path to your freedom and becoming. You're here because a trigger showed you to your wound, and your wound will show you to your path, and your path will show you to your destiny. When you arrive at this breaking point, the foot of the mountain, the heat of the fire, the night that finally wakes you, you are at the crux of the breakdown. And if you are willing to do the work, you will find that it is the entryway to the breakthrough you've spent your entire life waiting for. Oh my gosh, that is so good. did you not feel that? Like, chills. Okay. When you find yourself in the most difficult situation and you feel like, what is going on with me right now? Like, I am so heartbroken. I thought this opportunity was going to come and it didn't come. Okay. This is the testing ground. Are you going to show up as the person that you need to be? Your higher self, I should say. Or are you going to resort to comfort? And I was telling one of my friends this the other day. I said, listen, there is no growth in comfort. And the older that I become, I really do understand the gravity of this, of that saying. Because think of it like a shoe. When a shoe fits and it's comfortable, why would you exchange it for a bigger size? You're not, because the shoe fits and it's comfortable. But if it's uncomfortable, because you clearly the shoe doesn't fit anymore, you've outgrown the shoe, okay? You're going to elevate to bigger and better things, but you can't do that. There's no reason to grow in comfort. That's why there is no growth in comfort, because there's no reason to, you know? And it's like human condition where we need reasons to stop doing things. You know what I mean? And sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. I think the older you become, you have to be comfortable and have these strong boundaries and enough genuine self-love to know and to pick your poison at the time, I should say. The pain of stagnation or the pain of growth. That's it. Those are your choices. I can stay with this guy because I and beg for him back because I think that this is really what I want. And I just don't want to be heartbroken right now. I just need to fix how I feel right now. Long term, you're screwing yourself. Long term, you're delaying the person that is going to be for you. Or you can choose growth, but you're like, you know what? I would rather deal with the pain of letting, because this hurts anyway. This situation isn't ideal anyway. So I might as well just rip the Band-Aid off, okay, and deal with losing this person. But I know I'm still choosing myself because this isn't going to change. It's not going to miraculously just change, okay? And this is just so profound. I highly suggest that you guys read this book, okay? It's, you have to learn to master yourself. And I kind of want to read a little bit more about this because I find it so significant, where she says, there's nothing holding you back in life more than yourself. There's nothing, I'm repeating it, there is nothing holding you back in life more than yourself, okay? If there's an ongoing gap between where you are and where you want to be, and your efforts too close are constantly or consistently met with your own resistance, pain, and discomfort, self-sabotage is almost always at work, okay? And it's not obvious. And she unpacks in this book so many things that are so relatable. Like, self-sabotage comes in the form of so many different things. It could be procrastination. It could even be getting anxiety, which leads to procrastination. It's just like this domino effect of like horrible emotions, and it feels completely out of your control, you know? But there's always an underlying reason, and we have to go through deep psychological excavation. And I absolutely agree with this. Everybody has to go through this psychological process, okay? You have to pinpoint, like she says, the traumatic event, release unprocessed emotions, find healthier ways to meet our needs, reinvent our self-image, and develop principles such as emotional intelligence and resistance. It's like I wrote this myself. I was literally just talking to one of my friends about this earlier, where I was like, listen, life is meant to teach you to be resilient. Otherwise, and that's why it's testing you. Even if you think you've overcome something, it's going to come in a crafty way. And I also said, because I personally believe, isn't it interesting that life gets so crafty with teaching us lessons? But I believe that there's a time where in terms of blessings, you can sometimes run out. You can like push your luck of blessings where life stops getting super crafty sometimes as it pertains to our different blessings, but it always has room, it feels like, for there to be more and more lessons to learn. Isn't that so interesting? You know? And essentially, yeah, like she has identified too, self-sabotage is a coping mechanism because it's essentially what happens when we refuse to consciously meet our innermost needs because we don't believe we're capable of handling them. And I thought to myself, all the things I've ever desired have not changed, but the difference is I feel ready for them now. Like before, they felt like things that I wanted, and but it didn't really feel attainable. It didn't feel real. And the truth of the matter is, you're never going to just be ready. It's uncomfortable. When you want to move out on your own, of course it's exciting, but it's also nerve-wracking. It's like, whoa, like, can I really do this? Like, the only life that I know is, you know, living at home and having that comfort and that cushion. And what am I going to do? Like, what happened? Like, yeah, these are things that everyone, I'm sure, that moves out on their own thinks about because it's very scary. You know what I mean? But it's like, think about it. You figure it out. When you get there, you figure it out. I don't care how many Pampers and outfits you have, you know, for your child, you know, waiting upon its arrival, he or she's arrival, and that's not going to magically prepare you for parenthood for the rest of the remainder of, you know, your life. It is preparation, physically preparing for the child, but emotionally, how are you going to know ahead of time? You figure it out when you get there. Okay? Because life is tailored to us. The lessons that we learn are tailored to us. So you'll figure it out when you get there. You know what I mean? And you have to figure out, one, how are you self-sabotaging? Okay. And you have to be able to unpack these things because the things that you believe become attachments over time, which is what I say, like living the label, right? You start to literally attach yourself to the things that other people say about you and live that out because you don't know who you are yet. So you're living in everyone else's truth or perception, I should say, of you instead of what you know to be true about you. Okay? And I really do believe that. And that's why it's so important to unpack. Okay? And it's just like, also like she says, that self-sabotage is also one of the first signs that your inner narrative is outdated, limiting, or simply incorrect. Okay? Because for the most part, our lives are defined by what we think of ourself. Okay? And it's a very difficult process, but guess what? That's where the resilience come in because only the strong survive, baby. Or you end up becoming a person, you settle, you create chaos. Like, I cannot tell you the amount of, and I'm sure I've done it too. I'm sure I have. I'm not excluding myself from this narrative. There are so many people, one, that have such a lack of self-awareness. It is scary. They are so out of touch. They are completely incapable of understanding how they're contributing to their own chaos. There's so much noise and distraction. Let me tell you something. Being still is strength. Being able to sit in silence is strength. Not always needing noise and distraction around you is true strength. Because noise, and I don't even necessarily mean music or whatever in the background. I mean noise in the form of distractions, period. Relationships, partying, drugs, sex, a whole plethora of things. Even food. Having noise, you need to constantly be stimulated by something, is the first sign that your mind, your soul is trying to tell you something like, wake up, I need help. Okay. And I personally believe that there comes a time where we all experience a chance to reflect and heal our inner child. And that lesson is going to be one of the most painful ones. But if you choose to take it and run with it and progress from it, it's life changing. It is truly life changing. Only if you choose to do so, if you choose to do the work, if you choose to unpack and actually have answers to what's going on and answers to the trauma that is going on in your life. Okay? It's so true. Only dead fish go with the flow. You're not a victim of your circumstances. Okay? Because that's what ends up happening. People think, oh, I just don't know. And after a while, and I was telling my friends this too, I said, listen, there's a lot of elasticity and flexibility in your 20s. The older you become, unfortunately, life gets less forgiving. Why? Because it's like an unspoken rule. Everybody expects people that are older to know better and to do better. Hello, hi. Because you have more experience, so you should know better. So people become less forgiving because there's this understanding that, okay, how do you not understand the gravity of this situation? Like, you're grown. You should understand the repercussions of this. You know what I mean? And that's when life gets less forgiving. But because you can't ride on, oh, well, you know, she's only 35. Like, how did you expect her to really know this? That sounds way different than, oh, well, you know, she's only 21. So like, come on, like she's young. You know what I mean? Your 20s period, there's way more elasticity, okay? Especially your early 20s, okay? People don't even expect you to like have it all together, to know really much of anything, I can promise you. But the older you become, that changes. So there is barely any like room to make mistakes without there being permanent collateral damage. And that's why it's important to the best of your ability, become a self-aware person in your 20s, okay? Rather than later, okay, in life. Because to be self-aware is a true gift, okay? Because a lot of people are in denial about a lot of things, and you're sitting here, life is passing you by, and things that you should be doing for yourself, you don't realize that you're in the test right now. This is the testing ground, and you're failing. And the way that I think about it too is God loves some people so much that he forces situations to not work out for them, you know, or I shouldn't say some people. God loves us so much that he is constantly trying to show us like, hello, listen to what's going on here. This is not for you. I'm not allowing this person to see your value for a reason. I'm making this person, you know, let you go because I knew you would never pull the plug. Okay? You weren't going to leave this relationship. So I had to make this person leave you because seriously, I got to get you back on track here. And then boom, that's your time to make it work. And you don't. Oh, you don't? Okay. Well, then it's going to get extra crafty next time and more hurtful and more hurtful. And then you know what you're doing? You're pulling yourself farther and farther and farther away from who you are until you don't even know. You're so broken. You don't even know where to begin. And that's the issue. You don't want to have to hit rock bottom all the time in every situation just to recognize that you went too far. Why? Why do we have to go so far? And you know what? Okay. Because we all have to learn at some point in our lives. But if you're someone that you're constantly, because there's always a pattern, you're constantly finding yourselves in the same situations with a different face, it's you, because you're the independent variable, okay? It is you. And at the end of the day, you have to learn how to take accountability for that. How am I contributing, okay, to my own misfortune, all right? Pain does not last always, okay? And that's why we always go towards what's familiar versus what makes us happy. It's incredible. And it's crazy because we actually think our decisions help us sometimes. But guess what? Your new life is going to cost you your old one. The version of yourself that wants a nice house, that wants a nice car, that wants to strive for their dream job, what would that girl look like? Would she be with the person that she's with right now? Would she be tolerating the situations that she's in right now? Would she be working below her potential? Would she be hanging out with the people that she's hanging out with, knowing that none of them even like her? They're not your friends. What would she be doing? And let me tell you something. People that are ambitious and they want success and it's in you, okay? Because it's not, I don't believe ambition is necessarily in everyone. If you have it, you're lucky. You're blessed. Don't take it for granted, okay? And you have to actually think. And that's why I was also thinking to myself, now I understand that saying where it says, show up as the higher version of yourself. I used to hear that all the time and I have talked about it too, but it's like all of a sudden I like really understand what that means. What would that version of, you know, who I want to be, how do I meet her? Your goal is to meet the version of yourself that you want to be. And the trick is that along the way, while you're trying to meet that person, you're actually doing the work to become her. Amazing. Okay? And this is what I love too. She says, it's going to cost you your comfort zone and your sense of direction. So you will be confused at sometimes, right? It's going to cost you relationships and friends. Everybody can't go with you, babe. Everybody's not going to be on one accord with you. This is how it goes. Everyone, people that you probably thought would be super happy for you and supportive are not. That's a part of the process. It's not going to make it hurt any less, but as long as you're aware, okay? It's going to cost you being liked and understood. I have said this a million times. If you want to be somebody in life, please be prepared to be misunderstood. I don't care how nice I say something, how stern I say something, my intentions don't matter because people are only going, they're only capable of receiving what you said at their level of understanding. Okay. And everyone is not at the same level of understanding. So how could they, some people, they just can't help but be offended by any and everything because this is a troubled person. So they personalize any and everything that somebody does. Okay. And it's exhausting, of course, but you have to understand that to be resilient, you have to be able to pivot in life. That's what it's about. Pivoting. Okay. And not lying to yourself and being stronger than your current circumstances. Okay. The greatest act of self-love is to no longer accept a life that you were unhappy with. It's to be able to state the problem plainly and in a straightforward manner. I absolutely agree with this because at the end of the day, like I said, how do you define love? If all you know is chaos and you are so used to that noise and that distraction, then that's what you're going to invite into your life. But until you take a step back and say, oh, instead of why isn't this working? Okay, I need to force this to work. I can't think of a time where I've forced anything. Try to force a puzzle piece into the wrong section. Baby, it's not going to go. Try to force a key that's in the wrong lock into the lock. Baby, it's not going to go. So how is it any different as it pertains to relationships? It's not. It's the same. It's the same, babe. Okay? Like, it's just not going to fit. No matter how many different ways you approach it, it's not going to fit. And I think that there's strength in accepting that and saying, I'm going to choose how this is going to hurt. Boom. That's a power move. I'm going to choose how this is going to hurt. Just like that. Okay? Would you rather, you know the data, you have the data points. This guy is treating you like garbage. Hello. Hi. So what are you fighting for? More pain because in the moment you just need him still back in your life? Okay. No. We have to learn to pick what we want. It's the pain of stagnation or the pain of growth. In order to be where you want to be, it's going to cost something. Success is not just going to, you know, be given to you without the price of something, the sacrifice of something. It's not possible. Okay? You have to figure out and determine what makes, what triggers you in the first place, and come up with actual mechanisms to actually deduce those to the best of your ability, or even eliminate them. Okay? And in order to do this, this is why I strongly suggest that everyone has a therapist, because we need that unbiased opinion. I think the most dangerous people out there are people that are like, I don't need a therapist. Yeah, you do. Because at some point in all of our lives, we've experienced some form of trauma. Why do you think that you're exempt from that? And also, why? Ew, that's such an outdated state of thinking, to think you don't necessarily, like, to think that you have to see a therapist if something's going wrong. Wrong. It's just, no, you don't have to. You don't have to have issues or any sort of clinical I have a therapist too. I don't have any clinical diagnosis. And I know this because I had to get clearance from my therapist in order to do the show that I told you guys about in my last podcast episode. And literally, like, my therapist was telling me, she's like, there's no clinical diagnosis for you. So I'm not even exactly sure, like, what to say, but, like, you're definitely good to go. And I was like, ooh, thank you. Put that in there. She's like, Aisha, you just like to externally process things. That's all. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And I'm glad that I have this healthy relationship with her, because if something does go wrong, she has a pattern of knowing how I am. And I'm not only reaching out because my life is like, I feel like my life is in shambles or something like that. Because essentially what that is it's not preventative. It's just waiting to act on consequence. Things don't always have, again, things don't have to go wrong in order for you to learn to abort mission. Things don't have to go, you know, have to be literally irreconcilable for you to finally be done. That's how you dig yourself into a deeper hole, because you're waiting for the next level of, you know, of more evidence, to get more evidence on how, you know, you can reroute, you know, the dynamic. And you just can't. Read the writing on the wall. And at this point, yeah, you do become the problem. You do become the architect of your own misfortune if you're continuing to allow these types of situations in your life, where you turn around and all you ever have to talk about is just complaining. You're unhappy. You don't like your life. Guys always do this to you, do that to you. You're annoyed about how this guy's acting. So it's like very simple. It's like, okay, then stop talking to him. But of course, I know you don't want to do that. Trust me, been there. So you're like, you search for ways to just validate how you're feeling, because you want something to bounce off of. You don't actually want a solution. You understand what I'm saying? So you invite all this chaos into your life, and you're wondering why you're so stressed, because you're taking on a million other people's projections and it has nothing to do with you. You got to figure out what's going on for yourself, because there's no growth in comfort, okay? All right. You have to identify, you know, what are the ways and how we're sabotaging ourselves, like how, you know, being successful, for instance, like she says in this book, will make you less liked. Finding love will make you more vulnerable. So we avoid these things. Making yourself less attractive can guard you. Some people, they don't want to put any effort into their appearance. Playing small allows you to avoid scrutiny. Procrastinating puts you back into a place of comfort, okay? And at the end of the day, we have to make sure that we have to have the true understanding that you're not going to magically just become the person that you want without meeting adversity in some point of your life, or not being able to recognize what's going on and how you are contributing to it, because life is responding to you. It's not just happening to you. It's responding to you, and it's always speaking to you. Okay? So I think these are just such major things to consider. I will also link this book down below. I actually, don't quote me on this, but I do think this is a free book. Also, I do strongly encourage you guys to check out the free book section of iBooks, because there are so many great books, self-help books that are literally free. I'm not exaggerating. Like, they're literally free. And I think this was one of them because I downloaded this one last night. And again, I will have it linked down below. It's called The Mountain Is You, Transforming Self-Sabotage into Self-Mastery by Brianna Weist. This book is so, and it's so well, it's like very well written and very plain, you know, to read. It's not a bunch of scientific terms and all these things that you don't understand. It's written very, very plainly and simply to get to the point and to get you to change your life. Okay. So I hope you angels have enjoyed this episode. I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be episode 23. So I'm going to wrap up season 2 around 25 episodes, and then I'm going to take, like, you know, maybe a week or two off from posting the podcast. But in the meantime, what I'm going to actually do is I'm going to be pre-recording season 3. And that's what I'm going to end up doing. So season 2 is only going to be like 25 episodes, or pretty much, I guess, every season will be like 25 episodes each. So yes, so I can give you guys also time to catch up on everything, because as you do know, I am here every single Tuesday. And I love you guys so, so much. And I will speak to you guys in my next episode.